broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is indeed the broadcast for January 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two at two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. The checks and balances put in place, absolutely brilliant, and the great solution that we have to not have a revolution. We reject that. We want a peaceful transition of power. We want a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Our good friend, lolcamp20.org on the radio. Hello.
Good morning, Sam and Kurt. Good to be with you.
And we're talking about this in column. And this column is talking about the inauguration, ladies and gentlemen. Norm Singleton, president of Campaign for Liberty, is talking about it and talking about how, you know what, it used to be a very humble inauguration, a very humble delivery. The bottom line, though, is that it used to be a written address that people would read. Now, I know some of this transition has to do with the times in which we live, you know, a written one now. And then delivered later, something like that, or, you know, let people read it later. People would say that he's trying to somehow from the press or something. So it wouldn't go over too well. Some of those changes due to our modern day. But a lot of the change has moved very little. Swearing to be forgotten, angels, witnesses, and things, to now very pompous, very high-file, big, look to the something important. What's going on that?
Sam, I've just moved out to my other room because you're breaking up. I didn't really hear a lot of that.
All right, bottom line is we're talking about this column. Charles is talking about how it's been turned into a pompous affair.
Right. So the great thing about the column, Sam, that I enjoyed so much was he did cite Charles Peters, who was talking about the humble nature of the beginning of the inauguration. Like when Jefferson was inaugurated, I think it comprised entirely of just marching from his boarding house down to the White House with a few of citizens and some of the military. And in contrast to that, by the time Eisenhower was inaugurated, they had military bands and parades and, you know, and today we have balls and dances and it's just it really is amazing. I really appreciate his bringing out the history of it, though, so that we can appreciate that today's really is pretty ostentatious compared to the humble beginnings of the inauguration of the new man who runs the executive branch of government. I also liked his observations about the State of the Union. That really was a written report by the president sent to the Congress, and nowadays it's a speech, it's a media event. The president gets people he can refer to during his speech, and it's endless clapping, and they count the number of times people they give him a standing ovation, and it really is way beyond what it needs to be. But, you know, it's just helpful, I thought, to read those things in his column, Sam, and appreciate what the framers intended for us and how that is in stark contrast to what we do today, Sam.
You also brought up the Campaign for Liberty website.
You know, Sam, unfortunately, for some reason, this connection, I'm only hearing like it's a data problem, and so I'm not hearing most, it's like every tenth second, I'm sorry, every tenth of a second I get a clip of what's being said. So why don't you call me back, and let's see if we get a better connection, and try again.
I'll call you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. We're having a little bit of internet trouble at our location. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Hopefully we'll get Lowell Nelson back in just a second. One of the interesting things is in this column written about the inauguration. You know, we've really changed a very humble swearing in before God affair into a literal pompous event. And the article explains a whole lot more about that, talking about, you know, if we called him Your Highness or King or something like that, everybody would be like appalled. They would gasp in horror. But at the same time, we celebrate his balls and his big celebrations and such like that, as if somehow the presidency is this high and lofty, powerful office that the founding fathers would be turning over in their graves with such notions. And so we really need to understand how this has changed from a written address, a very humble deliverance, to now a very publicized, now they're debating that, man, that Donald's not near the King Barack was. He doesn't have near the crowd size, and you got these balls that are $500 to attend kind of stuff. And man, you'll be lucky if it's, quote, an official government ball where the president will appear. And, you know, you get this kingship, this almost idolistic worship that's seriously a problem. And so one of the points that Ron Paul made on the Campaign for Liberty.org website about this really is interesting, Lowell.
Yes, right, Sam. He said, well, the picture was the picture of Barack Hussein Obama, and on the picture was this quote. He said, "The imperial presidency is just as much a creation of Congress as it is of power-hungry presidents." End of quote. And I think he refers to, Sam, what he's talking about is Congress has given up much of their authority to the president. And the best case in point I can think of is this military, I can't remember the name of the act, but it's the act where they said, we won't actually declare war, but we'll let the president decide to go to war if he deems it appropriate.
It's not only a giving too much power to the president, Lowell, but they have a desire somehow in Congress to never be responsible for the decisions of the president. So they say, number one, we'll give him the ability to go. But then when it comes time where they control the purse strings to fund it or to reject it, they say, well, we can't leave our troops in harm's way and we can't undermine the presidency. They lie and simply avoid responsibility for their proper role of government as well.
That's right. See, they have given up their responsibility, and yet there is no warrant in the Constitution for them to do so. There is no clause, no statement in the Constitution that says Congress may delegate to the president this authority. No way.
In fact, to the contrary, it spells out that it is their absolute responsibility.
They have a constitutional duty, a solemn duty to shoulder that responsibility. They and they alone are the ones who declare war, and they cannot redelegate that to the president. And so when you vet people for Congress, they need to understand that they're the ones that makes the go no go decision when it comes to war. It's a real problem with Congress giving up their authority, and combined with the power hungry presidents of the past, It has been a real big problem, and I hope Trump will help to reverse that trend, and will. And he said as much, right? I mean, he said this power is yours, and you put me here, but really the government is yours. And when I hear words like that, that's government where it ought to be. You know, self government is certainly the very best government possible on earth, and you know, next to that is government of one's family, and then of course one's community and county and state. But it's nice to see someone in executive office say things like we're returning this power back to the people. Sam?
He also did one other thing of note that I think is really critical. He issued some executive orders over the weekend, and his first real official day in office is considered today, Monday. Because the other one was a Saturday, and it was only part of a Friday, and et cetera. But he used the weekend to put forth two executive orders. One of them had to do with Obamacare and the rejection and the repeal, the complete 100% repeal of Obamacare. And he went far enough, Lowell, to set the stage to free the states up some, to free the people up some, but he didn't go so far as to encroach on the congressional responsibility. He put that executive order and says, this proves to you that I'm absolutely in support of this, and I set the stage the best I could, but now it's up to you, Congress, to deliver me the legislative reality to make this executable on my part. It was brilliant.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Enough of that talk about the presidency, but all I'm telling you is we need to understand clearly, absolutely clearly, that, hey, this isn't what the founders envisioned. They didn't expect some guy that was a rock star, that was a king, that was a celebrity, that was... They expected a humble servant of the people. And we need to certainly return to that. Donald didn't quite get that done. But again, you know what? We've spent, what, 100 years leaving the bedrock of the founders' principles? It's going to take us a while to get back. Let's be fair and clear. But Donald did, over the weekend, issue some executive orders, and he literally did the best he could within his scope of authority. And then he said, now I need Congress to do their job and send me legislation that's actionable that I can turn into an executive mandate. And I really think that's a telling about what he intends to do. And I think it's really a delight to see that acknowledgement of the separation of power. Now, I don't like executive orders being used at all, but I will say that you're going to have to somehow undo half of what Barack did as he destroyed the country. We need to move back. And Donald, in my mind, did a pretty good job of laying out, here's what I can do and here's what I can't, but here's what I need you guys to do and here's why, and we can work together. What do you think of that, Lowell?
Well, good point, Sam. Now, it's the nature of politicians to do nothing. I mean, they like the status quo. They don't like making any movement. They don't like making any changes. And so if you were to ask those 535 members of Congress, most of them would say, well, we really don't want to change things up much. We just want to leave things as they are. But you and I, our job as citizens is to make sure that our congressmen know we want change. We want the right kind of change this time. We want a repeal of Obamacare. We want an audit of the Fed. We want these things that we've been talking about. The things that will return America to true greatness really is a return to the principles of good governance found in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And so it's up to you and me to make sure that our congressmen know that we want them to support the Constitution, to adhere to its policies. And this is the best opportunity to do so when President Trump has made this tremendous overture and said, look, I'm doing as much as I can do to repeal Obamacare. It's now up to you, Congress, to change the rules. I mean, he's absolutely right. The president does not make the rules. It was not designed for the president to make the rules. That's entirely the purview of the legislative branch. The first clause.
No question about it. Now, one of the things I like about this is that Donald stopped short where he thought he had to. However, there's greater knowledge that Donald needs to tap into because he has a lot more latitude, constitutionally speaking, than he thought he did. WND.com is reporting that it's hospice time for Obamacare. Boy, is that spot on. It's hospice time for Obamacare. Obamacare is on the ropes. But Larry Levitt, he's of the Kaiser Foundation, he said that the Trump administration could virtually end the individual mandate all on their own by using their authority to grant what are called hardship waivers. You see, there's no definition of what hardship means in the law. And so since Congress left it vague, the president could simply say this is a hardship on everybody in the country. I issue everybody a waiver. Now Congress get to work and fix this going forward for reals, but this is an emergency. Nothing in the law says hospital care has to be unlimited either. So you could simply limit hospital care and say, look, we're going to leave it to private insurance, to individuals to handle. Now, you can say that'll be expensive for the individual, Sam, but not if Congress acts fast. So the president can actually do quite a bit by just issuing everybody in the nation a hardship waiver. There's a lot that could be done, but I appreciate Donald at least saying, I've done what I can, now it's up to Congress. And now Congress needs to sit down and really take their responsibility and their mandate, their duty seriously, Lowell.
Wow, it's a great opportunity, Sam, for Congress to step in and man up, so to speak. I don't want to replace Obamacare with anything. I simply want to repeal, and I hope that message goes out loud and clear to your...
Well, I kind of would like to replace it with one choice, Lowell, and I think you'll be in support of this. Ron Paul put together some legislative initiatives and some bills that were very good to privatize health care. And I think if we moved forward to the Ron Paul plan in modern times, it would be the answer, sir. So I'd like to replace it with Ron Paul's plan.
Yeah, me too. It's the introduction. It's basically doing in health care what he has been recommending we do in the monetary policy. It's the introduction of alternatives. And when you introduce free market alternatives, then the free market determines what's going to be sold and bought in the marketplace.
And the reason that I point this out, Lowell, is because they're demanding we replace it with something. They're saying too many Americans are going to be harmed if we don't. I don't know that I buy that lie, but I am saying we cannot crash the plane and we cannot end up holding the bag of responsibility for something that went awry. And the sooner we put free market solutions in place, the sooner real answers will come to the surface, and the sooner we won't end up with the blame either. So if we're going to replace it, let's move forward with Ron Paul's free market plan. It opens everything up to competition. It does it immediately, and it literally unties the hands of service providers in the healthcare industry. So many things would come to the table so quickly, it would be shocking. The speed of the solution would be just eminent and amazing to watch. And so I'm supporting, hey, pull forward Ron Paul's legislation, give it to a capable congressman of today, put it an equivalent in the Senate, and let's simply slam it to Donald's desk and say, all right, come on, let's get it done. Here's the answer, and we're going to move forward with it with all speed, post-haste. That's my proposal, Lowell.
I like it very much, Sam. A lot of people say that the free market alternative won't work, and then they point to our current system as a free market. Of course, that's a huge mistake. Our current system is not free market, and there's very little about our current system that's free market. It is a government-mandated, centrally planned system, and the fact that it is going down in destruction, I mean, it's hurting people, and it's not a successful system, is ample proof that a centrally planned socialistic system like Obamacare is not the way to go, and the true way to go is a free market. The free market, boy, the power of the free market is truly explosive, and like you say, if we replace Obamacare with a free market solution, then I'm okay with the replacement. That would be a wonderful change, Sam.
Amen to that, sir. We're praying for real solutions to come to the table. What we don't want is Congress to get somehow confused in their stalemate and dismantle some of Barack Care, but not implement real answers and end up holding the bag and getting the blame for something that could be avoided so easily if we just use common sense and the blueprint our founders gave us and the guidance that Dr. Ron Paul put on the table already. We've got answers. Let's grab them and move forward immediately. All right, clemency to Chelsea Manning. Bradley Chelsea Manning started out a male, now claims as a female. I still say he's a male, by the way. But nevertheless, the bottom line is this clemency issue is a critical one, and a lot of conservatives are critical of Barack Obama doing this, but I submit not so fast, lol.
Well, I agree with you, Sam, and not only that, but Congressmen, former members of Congress, Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich, they wrote a joint letter to President Obama just a couple of weeks ago, urging him to grant Manning clemency. In their letter, Sam, they cite the fact that Manning had been confined in a segregation cage for 2 months in Iraq, and that this pretrial detention had been cruel, inhumane, and degrading. And then Manning was detained for 9 more months in a military brig at Quantico, confined 23 hours a day to a small cell, shackled at the wrists and legs during visits. Paul and Kucinich contend that Manning's treatment that year violated the right to protection against cruel and unusual punishment as enshrined in the Fifth and the Eighth Amendments of the U.S. Constitution. Now, listeners may remember, Sam, that Manning was the one who leaked the footage of a U.S. helicopter attack on journalists and civilians in Iraq, that video known as Collateral Murder. Manning repeatedly expressed the sentiment that the information was disclosed in hopes of starting a rational and a national conversation about the true cost of asymmetric warfare. Sam?
All right, let's take a quick pause. We'll come back with Lowell Nelson. We're going to talk about Chelsea Manning more because we need to break down some reality checks. Hold on, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Many proponents of civilian disarmament insist that only military personnel and law enforcement officers should be permitted to carry firearms, leaving aside the fact that disarming innocent people leaves them vulnerable to private criminals and abusive state employees. There are times when an armed private citizen will come to the rescue of a law enforcement officer under fire. NBC News reports that an armed passing motorist was credited with saving the life of an Arizona state trooper by shooting and killing a gunman who ambushed the trooper in the middle of a lonely interstate highway before dawn on January 12th. The 27-year veteran trooper, who has yet to be named, was hospitalized with gunshot wounds in his chest and right shoulder after responding to a shots fired call while he encountered a rollover accident. As he began to lay down emergency flares, the trooper was shot twice and then attacked by an unknown assailant. A passing motorist who witnessed the attack stopped, drew his personal firearm, and ordered the assailant to stop, and then fatally shot him when he refused. I would just say at this point thank you, because I don't know that my trooper would be alive today without his assistance. Colonel Frank Milstead, director of the Arizona Department of Public Safety, said after he met with a seriously injured trooper at the hospital. The rescuer was identified as a man traveling to California in the company of his wife.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to libertynewsdaily.com. For libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Kirk Crosby, Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. I want to quickly cover this with Chelsea Manning. Look, I think Chelsea Manning is a nut, okay? Going from a male to a female is whacked out, in my humble opinion. And the guy's a goofball. She's a goofball, as some would say. However, I want to point out that, you know what, whether I agree or disagree with the political viewpoints of this person, the personal choices of this person, the fact is they have God-given unalienable rights as well. And the fact is they were an incredible whistleblower. They harmed no one. There was no deaths credited to Chelsea Manning at all. I shouldn't say credited, but attributed to, etc. And the truth is, I think that Chelsea Manning should go free. I think there's been harsh and unusual abusive punishment for standing against abusive government. Even though I completely disagree with Chelsea Manning on a personal level, I say that, you know what, Chelsea Manning, or whatever you want to call this guy, is innocent until proven guilty, and there should be appropriate due process of law.
There's been no harsher punishment meted out to anybody than there was to Manning. I mean, there have been a number of breaches of leaks of this kind of information, but Manning really took the brunt of it. And so Obama did grant clemency to Manning, commuting the sentence to time served, and I applaud that. I think that was a good move. And just as much as I find Manning's sexual preference to be objectionable, like you, Sam, he is certainly. He deserves the rights and the protections guaranteed by the Constitution, those inalienable rights, and so it's important that he be given those rights, just like you and I would expect. Regardless of our personal choices, we have a right to the protection, to due process, and so forth. And it's also, I think, very, very helpful here to point out that that Manning's disclosure of this information did not, and I repeat, did not result in any deaths of U.S. personnel. And Jack Hunter has a great little column about that where he quotes the U.S. He says the U.S. counterintelligence official who led the Pentagon's review into the fallout from the WikiLeaks disclosures of state secrets told the Bradley Manning sentencing hearing on Wednesday, this is back in 2013, that no instances were ever found of any individual killed by enemy forces as a result of having been named in the releases. And the report continues here, Sam. Brigadier General Robert Carr, a senior counterintelligence officer who headed the Information Review Task Force that investigated the impact of WikiLeaks disclosures on behalf of the Defense Department, told a court at Fort Meade, Maryland, that they had uncovered no specific examples of anyone who had lost his or her life in reprisals that followed the publication of the disclosures on the Internet. I don't have an example, he said. It has been one of the main criticisms of the WikiLeaks publications that they put lives at risk, particularly in Iran and Afghanistan. The admission by the Pentagon's chief investigator into the fallout from WikiLeaks that no such casualties were identified marks a significant undermining of such arguments. End of quote. So there you have it, Sam. Manning's disclosure resulted in no deaths, no casualties among U.S. personnel, but look at, in contrast to how many deaths were caused by those who lied us into the Iraqi war in the first place.
And look at the reality check on what us conservatives have been saying all along about the wrong-headed view of an unjust war. Manning lays out facts as a whistleblower and should be, well, it's hard to want to call this person a great leader and a great example. Again, that's why I kind of separate this personal thing and this gender crisis thing from the work being done. And I support the whistleblowing. I support the accountability. I support the appropriate idea that he's innocent until proven guilty. I support all those things. I just reject his personal lifestyle, etc. But I'm smart enough to give credit where credit's due and reject what I reject, not lump it all in and either be against Manning or for Manning. I base everything that I speak of on principle, Lowell, and I think that's what we need to learn to do.
For those of you who, and I agree, Sam, for those of you who are not familiar with the video that Manning made public, you can just go to the Internet and Google, do a search engine search for collateral murder video or collateral murder YouTube or like Manning, collateral murder, whatever. And then you'll be able to watch firsthand a video that Manning made public where this U.S. helicopter attacked journalists and civilians on the ground in Iraq, and basically just, it's heartbreaking to watch this, but it is an example.
No question.
Of what goes on in war. War is simply not good. I cannot wait for the day when we simply march out of those countries and repent of our military, aggressive foreign military policies around the world. It's just it just brings death and destruction and injury to so many people, not only our own personnel, but to our brothers and sisters who are civilians in other countries.
Amen to that. Now, quickly, a little bit of a concern, kind of a warning. Senate confirms General James Mattis as Secretary of Defense. Quote, it's official. Mad Dog is defense secretary. And you know what? He's a pretty bold, hawkish guy. Hopefully we can tame him down and we can appropriately defend America and we can spend our money on making sure that America's strong. I support appropriate national defense, but make sure that we pull out of many of the 130-plus nations we're involved in militarily speaking. We've got to move forward with a more humble foreign policy. We've got to save a lot of money. And reduce foreign aid and foreign expense, and then we've got to make sure that if we're going to engage in a war, that we do so appropriately using the checks and balances, in other words, congressional declaration of war, if we're going to go to one where there's a defined objective, a responsible solution to get out, get it done and get out, and we've got to move forward with eventually abolishing a standing army. There's a lot of work to be done there, and I hope Mad Dog's the guy to do it, but I have my concerns.
Right. Now, some of the things I've read about Mattis is that he is a soldier's soldier, meaning the soldiers like him because he doesn't lead from the back. His career, if I am reading these reports about him correctly, he leads from the front. I mean, if he's going to charge a hill and take it, he's in the front. I mean, leading the charge. So he rose through the ranks, and he's well respected by many a soldier, apparently. He's not just some bureaucrat. And so I like that about him. If he truly has been the guy leading the charge up the hills, then he knows the cost of war. He knows that people get killed, people get hurt in wars, and hopefully that will make him more reticent in his advisory role there in the cabinet, more reticent to go to war. Like you, I hope that they will see the common sense of getting out of the countries that we're in. We're in 130 countries right now. Let's back off. Let's simply, as Ron Paul said, we just marched in. Let's just march home. Let's do that, and let's save a lot of lives and carnage that was result from our foreign military interventionist policy. Sam?
Amen to that, sir. Now, I want to move to a couple of other incredible topics that you brought to the table. There's a change in the guard in terms of what we see out of liberty-loving Americans and those whom we elect. And in the past, it's kind of been, you know what, you elect them and you don't hear from them again until election time, then they glad hand and run around and waste your time making you believe that, hey, they love you and they're here to do your bidding. But when it comes day-to-day, you never hear from them or see from them until it's, you know, crunch time again. That's starting to change in Utah County. There was a traveling tour that we mentioned before on the radio. It's wrapping up, but Lowell was at the kind of some of the final events, and that's kind of an update of what happened, and this should be duplicatable all across the country, Lowell.
It sure could, Sam. Utah County Republican Party, and as you know, the Campaign for Liberty is not a partisan organization, and so simply because I'm reporting that this happened or occurred in the Republican Party, it doesn't mean that I'm all for the Republican Party and against all other parties. In fact, truth be told, the Campaign for Liberty is nonpartisan. We just want good people to stand up for liberty in whatever party they choose, or even if they choose not to be a part of a party, simply stand up for liberty and for the sacred cause of liberty wherever possible. And so the Utah County Republican Party did an outreach program. Their first event was last Saturday, two Saturdays ago, and we reported on that, and it was a smashing success. They continued the tour through the central part of Utah County on Thursday of last week, and they concluded that tour in the northern end of Utah County last Saturday. And in my capacity as a county party education officer, I attended there. I had a booth chock full of information. Specifically copies of the U.S. Constitution.
Excellent work. Hold tight. Back in seconds, Liberty Roundtable live on your favorite talk station, live from Washington, District of Corruption.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find the Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So imagine leaders of a party. Now, I'm not really for partisan politics, as Lowell wisely pointed out before. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with us. But I am for people deciding that they're going to basically do their very best to come out and meet and discuss with the public in a county tour that could be duplicated all over the country. That's tremendous, Lowell, because it's not us begging for them to talk to us. It's them actually taking time to put together something that is pro-family, that is pro-communication with our leaders. I think it actually does really well for I don't want to say marketing, but you know what I'm saying. It does very well for the public to be involved with and understand exactly what's happening and have a chance to speak openly with one another. There's nothing but good that can come from it.
Well, that's right, Sam. And the great thing about it, we had a handful of elected officials there, both from the county and from the state. And they spoke. We had on one end of the gymnasium there chairs set up where people could sit and ask questions of the legislators, the elected officials, both from the county and the state. And then in the middle, we had the balloon guy just delighting the children because it's a family event. And so moms and dads, they brought their whole family to eat the pizza and have soda. And that was at the other end of the hall was the food, and in between was this education booth and the balloon guy. This balloon guy was pretty amazing. He could actually build you a balloon with looked like a little goldfish in a fishbowl. You walk around with your little goldfish inside another balloon. It was pretty amazing. But the bottom line, it really was a lot of fun for the whole family. And our hope was, Sam, and our belief is this, that the more people who have in their hand and in their mind, firmly in their mind, the Constitution, the principles of good governance, regardless of what party they're with which they're affiliated, then and if they're talking to their elected officials about adherence to those principles, then the more likely it is that our public servants will vote in alignment with the Constitution and with the proper principles of proper governance when it comes time to vote. That was our hope. That was the reason one of the reasons we did this outreach. And can you imagine, Sam, if every party, regardless of whether it's Democrat or Republican, Libertarian or Green, whatever, if every party came forward and they pounded on their legislators and said, look, we want you to adhere to the Constitution, think what a huge impact that would have. In other words, we wouldn't have parties asking people to take a partisan position. We would have parties asking people to take a constitutional position. That would be a huge change. That would be a wonderful development, Sam.
You got that right, and our hope is that we have more and more and more interaction. Remember, they serve us, and the founders really envisioned representation for only a few people, not thousands like we see today. That's another discussion for another day, but I'm telling you that there was really intended to have us truly in relative constant communication with our representatives on issues that were of our displeasure or things that we liked and that we wanted them to do, things we were concerned about. There was supposed to be an open, constant dialogue between the limited number of people they represent and those who serve us. That's why it's a representative republic that we have. Anyway, What a great opportunity. What an example to follow. What an opportunity to duplicate this all over the country in all 3,100 counties across the country. And we need to see more of it. Last point before the end of the hour, Lowell, and I want to talk about this only a little bit today. I want to tease the audience. And what I want to do is clear the decks so that next Monday when you're on, that way I'll be back in studio and everything else. And I want to review this document in detail. So tease the audience with it a little bit now. And then what we'll do is we'll come back and we'll review in great detail. We'll take a whole hour on this topic. It's an incredible topic you brought up. I don't see how we've missed it in the past, but you're right, we have. We'll remedy it immediately. But what I don't want to do is give it limited coverage. I want to really open it up and talk about it in detail and cover it. So tease the audience, tell them where it is so they can review it as well. And then next week we'll drill into it hard for at least an hour.
Well, I appreciate that, Sam. One of the great things I really preach about Liberty Roundtable is the fact that you have extended to me as a representative of Campaign for Liberty an opportunity to spend this time on Liberty Roundtable and talk about issues of serious importance. And one of the things that we never have done much of is talk about some of the foundational principles of the Campaign for Liberty. And so I think this is going to be very fruitful. This statement is found on the Campaign for Liberty website, which is campaignforliberty.org. You just go to that website and click on, who we are. Up will come a webpage, and on this webpage will be a statement. It's no small, five-sentence statement like our mission. The mission statement is just five things. One sentence to it, but this particular statement of principles is a summation of the foundational principles of the Campaign for Liberty, and from this is where the mission came from. This is a marvelous statement, and it really will be worth our time to dig deep into it. And I might point out that there was a lot of thought that went into this statement. You know, you don't just throw something up on your website, but there's a profound truth in this statement. There is opportunity for elaboration of these great principles of liberty and prosperity, and so it's really going to be a wonderful opportunity for us to dig deep into this. But it begins this way, Sam. Quote, "Americans inherit from our ancestors a glorious tradition of freedom and resistance to oppression." Now, where on let me just stop right there, for example. Where else will you find a quote that touts resistance to oppression as being one of the foundational principles, right? I mean, you go to any website today that talks about patriotism, they're going to be talking a lot about freedom and liberty and so forth, but who talks about resistance to oppression? Well, Sam, that is in our lifeblood. That's the essence of being American, is resistance to oppression, right? I mean, who was it that said that resistance to tyrants is obedience to God, right? I mean, this is part of our heritage, this resistance to oppression. And so all around us today, whether it's at the city, the county, or the state level, or the national level, we have these bureaucrats, well-meaning bureaucrats who tend to oppress us, and if we are true patriots, we will resist that oppression, we will pull it down, and we'll replace those bureaucrats with people who value liberty, and they understand where liberty comes from. So just in that first sentence of the statement of principle, Sam, we have learned a great deal about the roots of the Campaign for Liberty. The next sentence here goes on, "Our country has long been admired by the rest of the world for her great example of liberty and prosperity, a light shining in the darkness of tyranny. But many Americans today are frustrated. The political choices they're offered give them no real choice at all. And for their talk of change, neither major political party, as presently constituted, challenges the status quo in any serious way." And so let's stop there. And point out that this is not a partisan webpage. I've mentioned that before, but we don't really care which party you affiliate with, or if you choose to not affiliate with any political party. What's important is standing with the Constitution, standing with the proper principles of governance as enshrined in the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence. Neither party, continuing this statement of principle here, neither party treats the Constitution with anything but contempt. Neither party offers any kind of change in monetary policy. Neither party wants to make the reductions in government that are crushing debt burden demands. Neither party talks about bringing American troops home, not just from Iraq, but from around the world. Our country, Sam, is going bankrupt, and none of these sensible proposals are even on the table. End of quote. That's just at the end of this.
But there are solutions, ladies and gentlemen, in this document, this statement of principles and beliefs, if you will, this platform for the Campaign for Liberty. That's really a nonpartisan effort to bring everyone back to the principles that made America great, back to the supreme law of the land, back to moral principles based on God, family, and country, based on the protection of life, liberty, and property. I want everybody to review this document. Give out the website again, Lowell. And what I want to do is I want to break down each component of it and talk about how critical each one really is next week. I want to spend at least an hour on it. If you've got 2 hours, I really want to give this time because we should have done this forever ago.
Well, I agree, Sam. The website is campaignforliberty.org/about. But if you just go to the Campaign for Liberty website and click on who we are, then you'll get this webpage. It'll pop up. And I really like your idea, Sam, for our listening audience to review this document between now and next Monday. Come prepared to listen, to talk about it. It's going to be worthwhile, Sam.
Education, ladies and gentlemen, we don't even steal your tax dollars to deliver to you absolutely free. Thanks to Lowell Nelson doing a marvelous job. Thanks to Kirk Crosby out in the field. Sometimes Kirk Crosby's kind of like the center and I'm the quarterback. He doesn't get near the credit he deserves. But all of us together, ladies and gentlemen, you, Kurt, Sam, Lowell, you, my fellow Americans, are where it all happens. Donald rightly pointed to the people, and we do the same. And together as a family, we shall restore America, ladies and gentlemen. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, and LibertyNewsDaily.com are our websites. Would love it if you would help us financially. We need to grow to the next level. The new media is taking center stage, and we're right at the center of that. Live from Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, we the people declare this nation shall endure.